about that.
Over the minutes.
Should we start with roll call?
Oh, that's right. That's why I'm here.
Sometimes, right? All right, Ms. Fonzie.
Here.
Mr. Smuckler?
Yep.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Thank you.
And since we are on time, welcome to public comment. Let's see, public comment, someone shows up, we'll take it from the show. So we'll move on to approving the minutes from last meeting.
I move we approve the minutes on June 3rd.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Ms. Fonzie, second by Mr. Smuckler. All those approved, say aye.
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 Okay, and now we have a review of the meeting of our agenda for the next one. That would be great.
We have two time and service presentations by two of our managers, Kevin and Gary. And so we'll that should take, you know, probably 5 minutes each or something.
Okay.
So we'll start with those. And then on consent, it's kind of your standard stuff up through B5. And then B6 is the Civic Spark program. So the board approved us moving ahead at our, I think it was our May meeting, approved us moving ahead with the second year of Civic Spark, provided we found we had the funding to do so from outside sources, which we now have. And so there's enough funding for to fully fund two positions, and we're like maybe, I think we're $3,000 shy of funding the third position, which we think we'll have. And so I think we're just asking the board there to approve the funding for the full three positions. If we don't wind up with it, then we won't wind up hiring that third person. But we look like we're in pretty good shape there. So
how many were positions were filled last year?
Three. Well, actually, we had four last year. Well, we only intended to fill three, but they wound up not being able to place a few of the AmeriCorps members at some of the other areas right away, and we were kind of one of the first ones going forward, and they asked us if we would take a fourth, and it wound up that we just kept them. And we had one person leave kind of right in the middle of this,
right?
And so and the supervisor left. And so that pretty much cleared up the funds to pay for that fourth person, so.
Is it possible to cut down the number of hours to make up that 2,000 or some other?
Well, we're not really allowed to do that because they contract, but what they can do, what the local government commission will likely do is can have that person work on a project for another area to make, if someone needs more help in order to fill whatever that gap is. And so I think we should be fine with the problem.
Very sorry.
Hey, Ray. We just went ahead and started on going through the agenda.
That's good.
That's good. So, let's see. So I think, and that's not a lot of time, you know, a lot of money. So we shouldn't really have a problem with that. And then we have to adjust some grant appropriations based on redoing numbers, you know, when we ask the board to approve grant programs at the beginning of the year for like $900,000, we're never totally sure of the exact amount we're going to get. So this adjusts to what we now know that we have on there. So it's just, that's pretty standard. And then on board business, it's the first item up is our annual report on emission reduction projects that got funded over the last year through the grant programs. And then the second one is we're getting ready to embark on our fiscal plan again, so it's been, it's a five-year plan, but we try and update it every 3 years. So we'll be asking for an ad hoc subcommittee of the board, four members to assist with that and working through what's in the plan and the kind of strategies that we bring forward for recommendation.
How many on that?
Four. Yeah. And then the final item is, and this is an interesting or an odd one. Not odd, but this is the one that's going to take a lot of time. So the Interagency Refinery Task Force is a statewide task force that was set up by the governor as a result of the explosion at the Richmond Refinery in the Bay Area. And they've been working on reviewing all of the safety guidelines, everything that relates to refineries. There's only four areas in the state that have refineries. We're one of them. We're one of the smallest. We have one, and it's a small refinery, but we're still in it. What they're doing in all the other areas are these town hall meetings that where they'll go out and, you know, advertise to the community and come out and talk about their concerns with refinery safety and so forth. But in all the other areas, there's multiple refineries. We only have the one right here. And so what we've asked, and this will be the second time, they came to the board, remember when that was, Jenny? Was it a year ago?
At least.
Maybe, I don't think it was more than a year ago, but it wasn't too long ago. It was a while back, and they gave an initial presentation on what the refinery task force does and where they were right now in their deliberations. They're actually working on ordinances that will be adopted statewide. And so they're going to basically update the board again at this meeting. But they really want, you know, we've sent notice out to the refinery knows, and the public, you know, so there'll be public noticing of this, that this will be kind of an open, you know, discussion for the community. And so we can do it one of two ways. One is that we could have them just give a 15-minute synopsis, say, of the information that they're going through, and allow the board to take public comment, and then go ahead and adjourn the meeting and have them open it back up to more of a workshop sort of format, so if, you know, the board didn't want to sit through the whole presentation or something. Or the other thing is just, it's going to be probably an hour and a half. Depending on what comment is like, but I think about an hour is what they anticipate for presentation plus board Q&A and so forth. And they can kind of tailor it however we ask them to. But public comment would be on top of that. The oil by rail issue is not something that they're addressing. And so they're going to state that up front, even though I'm pretty sure most of the comment we're going to get is going to be related to that.
Can we, because it's on an item, can we restrict it to the actual refinery issues and not the oil transport?
I think we can. I mean, it's up to the board.
You're the chair. But
yeah.
I would prefer to do that. Doesn't mean that
people. Yeah. Doesn't mean people will abide.
You know, if nothing else.
Yeah. If you did that, that would probably reduce the public comment.
We've all heard the other stuff, I know.
Quite a bit. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's that item. And, you know, my recommendation would be to conduct the full thing. But if you wanted to kind of shorten it for yourselves and then just let the rest of it, there's going to be no action taken by the board. It's just a receive and file presentation. So
is there a closed session, right, that will be? I mean, I would rather do that in the event that this one's really long and not all the board members.
We're moving on to closed session.
Well, just in terms of looking at the next agenda, session.
The question is whether the executive committee wants to. I don't know that we need to. Where we're at right now is the set for hearing before the court on October 15th. I really don't have anything to report other than just hash it out.
They moved the hearing date from, it was supposed to be in September, and they moved it to October. So it was supposed to be actually yesterday.
So I really could record it during the attorney comment period and just do it publicly and say where we're at, because I really don't have any strategy I need to discuss with. I mean, it depends on your executive committee.
That sounds good.
And okay with him
dispense with
both. Yeah,
okay. So we'll just pull closed session off
right.
The agenda.
And that way, regardless of how long this runs, we're
going to do that.
Okay, that's it.
And if we do that, then...
So you have more time now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was always the issue there. And you can always move closed session. It doesn't have to occur at the end if we were going to have a closed session.
But we don't have an action to escape.
No.
We don't need any direction.
No. So, given that, what would you like to do on the refinery task force presentation?
If you think that's where most of the interest is, I'd like to move it up on the agenda and put it at the top.
Yeah. Well, since it doesn't have an action attached to it, that, you know, and meaning that if it runs really long, we're not going to be crunched on trying to get a board out. You know what I'm saying?
How long do you think these two will take?
Oh, they shouldn't take very long. I mean, the C1 will be 15 minutes, and C2 is just going to be getting volunteers from the board to say, yeah, we're willing to serve. That item usually doesn't take more than like 10 minutes. So they're pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be done with the action items in a half an hour at the most. So, and, you know, we really don't have anything controversial on consent agenda. So I'm hoping that we could get to that item by, for sure, by 10 o'clock. That would be at the outside, I would say. We would be at that by 10 at the latest.
Okay.
So.
And I anticipate there being some board member items.
After
that, because we're doing a closed session. I know there's been some emails flying, you probably know too, about the last meeting where we had someone speak from geology.
Yeah.
You know the guy.
California Geological Society. Will Harris.
Right. And then a letter went from Bruce Gibson's addressing others. And that was a big kerfuffle about that, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know that there were several people, myself included, that said he didn't speak for me, Bruce. And I didn't appreciate the letter going out as if he did. And I'm sure that will come up.
Okay.
I would hope that anybody that comes before the board would be treated with courtesy, and we may want to re-examine our norms as a commission here and figure out how we treat people like that. It's a little off the wall. We don't see it too often, but I wasn't pleased with the way it went.
So that's really...
thinking of that as a board session item.
I would say a board item.
Item. So number three on the executive committee agenda is... related to that specifically, because that was how that discussion started, and Jan asked, you know, for an item on ex parte communications and disclosure of representation to be placed on the agenda. We didn't get full board direction, and so it was decided that it would get discussed at the executive committee. Now, you know, that, in my mind, if the board is going to have a full discussion on that particular item, it's probably going to take a while.
I'm unclear.
You were there at the meeting, I know. You were chairing it. And what was the man's name that came?
Will Harris.
Will Harris came up, and he wanted to speak to the board, and he was shut down.
No, he actually came up and spoke.
He spoke, and then...
And misrepresented who...
He didn't misrepresent, he just didn't say. So he didn't lie, he just didn't reveal.
So the way
that it was handled, I felt, was discourteous to him, and I would have liked anybody that comes forward to be able to be heard unless we have a norm or some other
guideline. Do you realize that he's not a member of the public
in
the average room?
No, and see, maybe that's my perception because I wasn't on the board when he may have come in the past.
He was involved in...
He is a member of the public in my
he's
mind.
He's not a member of the public. He's a
consultant.
You're trying to make
a
political issue out of
no,
something.
No, I just
if you don't like Bruce's response,
I didn't
you
like
shouldn't
Bruce's
tell Bruce
response.
Why do we have to spend a board meeting on politics?
Well,
all
I'm
time.
Saying it probably isn't just me that was a
well,
little
I still
offended.
Ask the question, why do we have to spend a board meeting
we
on
don't
politics?
Have to if we're going to discuss it here,
okay.
Which we can do.
I mean, it seems like if you don't like Bruce's... I mean, Bruce had a letter that Bruce expressed his opinion about it.
But it was on Board of Supervisors
letterhead. Yeah, he has his own letterhead. Just like
and
he
didn't spoke as if he were representing all of us.
So take it out with him. He didn't, to my knowledge.
Okay, let me put it a different
why everything
way.
Is to
okay.
Be politics.
In Atascadero, where I sit on the city council, if someone on the council were to write a letter to a business that's coming in to say, I want you to put solar on the roof or I want you to put this kind of landscaping, they can't do that. Without the rest of the board, the
okay, we don't have that policy.
That's
board
right. That's what I'm saying. We might need to have
district.
Norms that address this because it's unclear. We've come into a problem.
Do you realize that after the state spoke, Will came up and basically said that Larry was being dishonest. That he basically reiterated stuff that he had reiterated years ago, and that after he spoke, after the meeting ended, Chris Conlon himself came up to me and apologized for that. Display, he said, I don't know what he was doing. I'm sorry that it happened. I will talk to his boss. From my perspective, and I had nothing to do with what Bruce did, from my perspective, that was good, fine.
Right.
Chris said, look, we're moving forward. I don't know why Will decided that he wanted to try to start this fight again, but I'll talk to his boss. And I said, great, thank you, to Chris Dunn. End of story as far as I'm concerned. Bruce was offended, probably partly because of the nature of the field, I mean, as a fellow geologist, but I don't he's not a member of the public. He's a state employee on state time, coming to basically kick dirt in the progress that finally had been made between.
But there are some of you that
state.
Were privy to that, knew him from before, and there were some of us that weren't and don't know who this guy is, why he's speaking, and why there was that reaction. Do you understand?
No,
so it was perceived by several of us, I know, as being rude. And it may not ever come up again, but I wish we had a policy on how we treat the public. And
he's not a member of the public.
Where this goes, though, is Jan raised the question of whether we need to adopt a formal policy dealing with disclosure of who you represent and disclosure of conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other thing Larry was referring to.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that
from an ex parte,
right, and
we don't have one.
So are you more concerned about ex parte communications or men?
I guess my question is, do I need direction to come up with something for the board?
That might help. It does kind of encompass a little bit of what Roberta's talking about, but then the bigger question, what Jan brought up as well.
Right.
Some
I think it's important
policy.
For the public to have a perception that we are going to be courteous to everyone that comes before us, and if there's something unusual, we need to have a policy in place so that they understand, because
when
it's not only me,
when you said public,
on the board
who do you mean? Because
anybody
you seem
out
to suggest,
there, anybody.
Because I haven't heard that, you know, again, when you guys embody the public, I don't know who you're talking about.
Well,
it wasn't reported anywhere,
well,
except
League
for your
women
public.
Voters have just said we're going to have, you know, civility,
right.
And that was just a sudden reaction, and things happened, and they didn't.
What about?
I didn't
so
know
you don't think
that
somebody
happening.
Comes on state time representing the state and then kicks literal or actually figurative sand on the discussion we just had with the state, and that's fine.
No,
that we should just sit there and say, well, you know, the guy's been involved in this and he just came up and tried to stir something up for reasons that are unclear to us. Who are you representing? Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying that,
well, actually,
that the public can say
what
they want to say.
I'm saying
the
perception, for those of us who don't know him, was that we reacted rather forcefully and rudely. I had that reaction myself. I didn't know what was going on because I don't know the guy. I've never seen him before. I've never heard him.
You speak a lot about the reports, so you must be aware that he's been involved in this, right?
I don't know him on site. You know, it's not something I knew at all.
What I think I'm hearing Roberta talking a little more about was Bruce's public response.
Yes, he kind of jumped out of his neck there,
but did
then Jan came in and...
No, I'm talking about who's
okay.
released.
Yeah.
Was he explicit in there saying that he's speaking for himself, not the board? Because that would be something that Ray could fold into a really simple policy that I thought we already had about, as an individual board member, if you send a letter commenting on something that's happening with the APCD.
That would be your job as the chair.
I think the problem arises that when Republicans don't like something on our board, they get all upset. It's true. You do that all the time.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do. There's no issue here. No one's
I run meetings. I know how to do them. I don't address anybody in the public the way that was done. I didn't like it. I felt uncomfortable.
He wasn't of the public.
He was definitely out of line.
State employee who was out of line.
I didn't know that.
That's why we asked him, who are you speaking for today? What was said? I think you're conflating two different times. Another time was when Jan said something and we started
I think it was in the same meeting, Adam.
Same meeting.
I'm just saying, I think it might be helpful if we had a policy in place on how this is handled. And it wouldn't just be him, it could be any member of public or not.
Who's the arbiter of who the public is that's being offended?
I know that different organizations have norms in place.
So, Roberta, are you referring to like a civility kind of policy that the League of Women Voters
Yes,
that's
something I don't want
to say. Because that's like a third thing. To me, that's a little different than the ex parte communications and disclosures.
That's why I didn't realize what that was referring to.
Yeah, okay. So this was what was specifically asked of us at the last meeting to bring back.
By one board member.
Right, and then it was by one board member, and there was board discussion, and then Adam had already adjourned the meeting, and Ray said, well, wait, is there direction here? And Adam said, we'll take this up at the executive committee meeting. So that's why it's on the agenda here. Now, that part of it, I think, what you're discussing is something that has been before the Board of Supervisors, and I don't know if you guys adopted a policy. I think you did.
Didn't you with the League of Women?
It wasn't really adopted a policy. We approved a resolution.
Okay. You approved a resolution. Okay,
the stability resolution.
Is that, is that the kind of thing that you're referring to, Roberta? Are you actually asking for a board policy?
Well, I trust the chair's judgment in handling the meeting, so I don't want to step into that. You know, I felt uncomfortable with the way it was handled. I think the part that bothered me the most was Bruce's letter. And I would prefer not to have any members of our board send individual letters unless they very clearly state, I'm stating this as my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Because that seems pretty clear. It's on his letterhead.
We can go back and take a look. We don't have it in front of us, so, you know.
Do you guys ever let anything go that's trivial? I mean, if it's just political?
I don't consider it trivial.
This is, he came and attacked a process that was moving forward, and he was part of this process and all along has been an obstacle in progress in the process. You say because you and some others didn't know that somehow my comments or Bruce's comments
are behavior on the mat, you know, from coming from the people that are sitting, and I didn't know why, because I didn't understand the background.
Did you hear
but
what
that
he said?
Aside, yes,
did you
I
hear
did.
What he said?
Yes, I did,
said?
And I didn't like what I heard. However, the reaction was an overreaction, possibly, in my mind. But putting that aside, you run the meeting, you can gavel him down, tell him to sit down. You know, you have that ability.
Gavel him down
and
tell him to sit down.
But you could. That's your role as the chairman.
When he tried to come up later after the public comment, I asked him to please sit down.
Yes, you did. I'm just concerned, more concerned, how would you feel if I had written a letter and say, gee, I really liked what he said, why don't we have him back and send it to whoever is boss, as if I were representing the board? You wouldn't like that.
I think Bruce's letter was Bruce's opinion of being disappointed that this guy would come and continue to debate the science of reports that are now, like, that have been peer-reviewed and are, you know, we've been studying basically five. What I'm concerned about, Roberta, is that you guys just don't want to ever, we can never make progress because you guys won't ever stop politicizing everything. If you don't like my behavior or Bruce's behavior or Jan's behavior, we have to have another discussion. I mean, haven't you guys had enough emails and collabs and Tea Party stuff to just satisfy your rage?
You're really out of line.
No,
yes, you are.
This is not an issue.
It is.
It's an issue between Will Harris and his boss. That's as far as I'm concerned. Chris Conlon told me that he was disappointed, he didn't know what he was doing there, and he would talk to him about it. From my perspective, that was pretty much done. Chris Conlon's the one that has to work with Larry, and it's not Will Harris's job. The fact that he was there, sort of freelancing on state time, that's their business. I don't understand why, because some people who don't like the rule or don't like the science or the studies feel they have to defend
that
everybody.
Isn't what I'm talking about.
One of the problems with what Will was saying was it was pushing directly against the progress that we're making and his boss, the state's efforts. And he was undermining exactly what his organization is working towards accomplishing. And so I felt like what Adam's reaction was good, because the further he went into that commentary, the more damaging it would become to who he's there being paid to represent and the progress that we're trying to make as the ABCD. So that was definitely threatening because it was a misrepresentation on his part. What you're saying about just confirming that if a board member sends a letter, that it's very clear that it's coming from them and not endorsed by the board, that seems very simple and something that
shouldn't. You have a problem with that, Adam?
A problem with?
Any letter that comes from the individual board members need to clearly state that it's their personal opinion, not representing the board.
Sure, I mean, that seems...
And I don't even,
Bruce's,
I'm not even sure if Bruce's letter
than,
didn't do
yeah,
that. I think it may have, but it's a good reminder.
Yeah, I don't think we need to have,
no,
you know, I mean, I think what you want to do is open up a can of worms for the sake of opening up a can of worms.
I don't
want to
open
why
up a can of worms, but it will come up at the meeting.
But
I can
why?
Guarantee
but
you.
But why?
It will come
because
up.
You guys have been, you already said you guys
so
have been
emailing. So let's just get ahead of that.
You guys have been emailing, no?
No, I haven't been emailing, but I have gotten copies of letters of those who have sent letters to this gentleman that was his boss. And
so you know why it's a false issue? Because you know that in previous, for instance, when Dr. Langford attacked Debbie Peterson, I stopped her and asked her, please do not do that, please.
Mm-hmm.
And later she even apologized. So you know it's not an issue. You're trying to make it an issue because this happens to be a situation
no, it isn't.
Where you guys are favoring Will Harris for God knows what reasons.
Do you remember when I was chair and I shut them down?
And
so
I know, but this
you.
Isn't an issue.
I just want it to be fair and above board.
He's
That's
not a member of the public, though.
I want any
He's not a member of the public, so
here.
You're making me...
Well, to kind of close this down, what if we
well,
try
then
to...
I said to you, why don't you express it to Bruce that you're... You know, I mean, it seems
why
like you already did.
Why don't we have a policy so it doesn't happen again?
I thought you guys were all about free expression, constitutional rights, except for ones you don't like, where Bruce expresses himself, where you guys don't.
People on boards and commissions
Bruce
and
Gibson, District 2, represented by District 2, on his letterhead, points out his own opinion. I don't know. I mean, what does he have to do? I mean, you guys just don't like it. It's not that you think,
I
you
think
know,
we're
that
going
you're offended on behalf of the public.
I think we're going to agree to disagree. You're
all right, let's continue to try to delay.
Really
no, I wish it wasn't expressed in so many different times where we've had pointless discussions over political trivialities that you guys want to continue to.
Do we think on number three that the ex parte communications and disclosure component is important, that we should pursue that?
Are you more concerned about who board members are meeting with in regards to sensitive issues at the Hare District, or are you more, which is it that you're most concerned about?
When this, whoever it was asked me about this, what was their concern specifically?
Well, I think they're, according to the discussion, and I listened to it again just now before because I wanted to hear what got said, a little confusing, but someone brought up the letter from the Versailles related to, you know, some concerns that board members were using their cell phones, you know, reading from comments from other organizations that they've met with, and they're presenting someone else's position, that sort of thing. And so that was the ex parte piece of it that I understood. And then the other part of it was specific to Will Harris's coming up and asserting he was speaking on his own when he was actually speaking.
Which isn't really ex parte.
No, and that's the disclosure of representation. That was what Jan asked for specifically.
Mm.
She said that they have policies in place for both of those at the city,
right.
San Luis Obispo. And so... So I figured, okay, well, let's put that on as a discussion item for the executive committee so that when we come back to the meeting, we can say something. Either we can say the executive committee, you know, decided it wasn't an issue, or the executive committee could say we couldn't decide. Let's talk about it as a board and give some direction to staff, or ask that it be agendized for the next meeting. So you don't really even need anything on the agenda to do that. Do they, Ray?
No, I don't think so.
As long as there's board, the problem I always have is making sure that I have direction from the full board and not just one or two people. And so I always, and that's why Ray asked that question at the end of the meeting. So
what is our direction exactly?
Yes.
What are you asking?
What is our current policy for ex parte communications?
We don't have
an ex parte communication.
I don't know that we have the authority to direct specific board members on the APCD board to say or not say anything other than in the context of representing the board itself. So
I know at ARB, I've always found this interesting when I'm at an Air Resources Board hearing.
They have disclosure requirements.
Yeah, they have disclosure. And so they, before they even start the meetings, they talk about who they met with before the meeting.
Disclosed.
Yes, and what they discussed.
So we all do that on the council.
I thought, well, not most, but some do. But I thought that's what Jan was talking about.
That's what
it is. So you guys have.
We could
do that. The board just adopted it.
The board did?
Particularly for land use.
So I can follow I can follow some kind of process like that and come up with something, but some boards do.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what we could go towards is recommendation from our committee that we, as a board, consider adopting something like that with, Ray taking a little time to look at what makes sense.
So we wouldn't be able to bring something forward at this next meeting. That's just 2 weeks from now. We have to get the agenda packet out next week. And I'm really concerned if we agendize it even for discussion, it's going to consume a whole bunch of time. So I'm thinking that we ought to just plan for it in November.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
yes.
And discuss it at that point in time. And let the board know, I can do that if you'd like, or, you know.
Right, and if Ray needs a copy from various cities, I'm sure you
can. I can get it. I have the city of San Luis's already. It wasn't much, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You probably could, too, know what your council norms are.
Yeah.
If I have direction, I'll go deeper.
So wait until the board says, let's go forward. Just give a brief review.
Well, standard policy is all communications relevant to the two, meaning emails. Not just physical meetings, but phone calls, emails.
Yeah,
right.
All communications from parties received regarding matters before the board.
Yeah. And so the idea is that you're presenting, if you're receiving information outside the meeting, that you're stating that you received this information from whom.
Right.
So everyone's on an even playing
field.
Someone
else may not have received.
Yeah.
So, the same thing for disclosures of representation, that we would have that as part of that policy.
That would apply to the public, wouldn't it? Not
yes.
Board.
Right.
I don't
so
think
that
that's enforceable, is it, right? That's a tough.
What do we mean disclosures of representation?
Well, for the city of San Luis Obispo requires all consultants to identify who they're speaking on behalf of.
So it's consultant.
So, and she was referring to Will Harris because he's a consultant to state parks.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was pretty offended that he tried to suggest that he was speaking on his own behalf when in fact he represents state park as a consultant. Mm-hmm. So we could look at that.
That's a little squishy in my mind.
I think so. I don't know.
It just is.
You're an attorney.
Well, it's probably easier for a city to do that can actually adopt an ordinance, right, that requires that? I don't know.
We can adopt the equivalent of an ordinance. We can adopt a rule.
I think theirs is an ordinance.
We don't have an ordinance. It's board procedures.
Right.
If everybody's aiming for the highest transparency, then you would ask for people who are hired consultants to stipulate that they are there as consultants to et cetera, et cetera.
So do you have that printed on speaker slips, or do you announce that at the beginning of comment?
I think we just are adding it to the board's rules of procedure, which gets put on there. I don't know about that. That's not what speaker gets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring, what I'll do, if this is okay with you, is I will mention to, during my APCO's report, I will discuss that the executive committee had a discussion regarding this because it came up at the last meeting and asked us to bring back something formal for the board to consider at the November meeting. Does that sound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dealing with what? Two things: communications regarding matters before the board.
Maybe we should just
and
call
disclosures
it
of who you
yeah.
represent
yeah.
on ex parte. Ex parte communications. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
You see any problem? You have a tone in your voice like.
No. I think we have to be careful. You know, I'm not sure that what Bruce said or did is out of line with his role as a board commissioner, a board member. I get that. But this is different. This follows up with what Jan was saying, and she wanted a policy regarding communications, disclosures, and ex parte communications. I can come up with that. Cities have done that. Other agencies have done that. The Coastal Commission has one. There's a bunch of them that have them. I can certainly, if the board wants me to, I can certainly look into them and come up with a policy and bring it back.
I just wonder if there's any teeth in it, really. How can you compel someone to?
It's hard.
Well, the ex parte,
ex parte, we would do it as a matter of conscience on the board.
Exactly.
The public is a different story.
Right.
It's more showing of transparency and, you know, being fair.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we will agendize for November.
So you'll put that on your EO, executive officer.
Yeah, I'll just mention it during my APCO report. Because I don't really know where else to put that. I'm almost...
I'm just looking
a little concerned about even mentioning it there before it starts a discussion, but I don't think it will. If I say we're bringing it back,
we can bring it back.
Yeah. So I think that's good.
Transparency is good.
Yeah, that's good direction, and we'll look at what the other jurisdictions have put together, and you know, pull the best from that.
And why don't we just kind of wing it at the meeting? If it comes up about the correspondence Bruce had, we'll deal with it then, and if it doesn't, we'll let it rest.
But I think if it does come up, we should make it not about Bruce's letter, but more globally.
Yes.
If letters are coming from any of our board members, they should be clear and
right.
not judging whether Bruce did
right.
or didn't
so
without having it here.
Right.
That's my recommendation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just before that, Ed Waggy, you know, put a letter to the editor that kind of sounded like it was as a board member.
Word, an issue.
Well, that's why we made
and
it yours.
That's a good reminder.
Right.
Yeah.
So
inadvertently do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Our.
And I know Atascadero has one that very clearly states that I'll shoot it over the range.
Should we go beyond just winging it and kind of get ahead of that by?
I think it's difficult because there are different roles that the board members at the supervisory level play than the council members. I didn't like Ed's viewpoint, but I wasn't going to spend an hour at a meeting trying to politicize it.
No.
I kind of know, I've been on the board with Ed for a long time. I know where he's coming from. I don't agree with what he had to say. I don't even think it was a helpful thing to say, but...
Well, what about something that tries to address just the universal reminder that if any of us send some form of public commentary about an issue before the board, that if it doesn't have approval from the entire board or majority, that is somewhere in there it's explicit that you're speaking as a board member.
I think elected officials are allowed to speak for themselves, and that's the, you know, I don't think anybody would want anything less, and you're going to get censored by whether there's seven people who support or...
No, I'm not saying you can't send it, but you just have to be explicit in there that you're speaking as an individual, just like...
Yeah.
You should do that. But the reality is, it's free speech. You're elected officials. You can say anything you want.
That's what I said. I mean, I saw Ed's. I didn't like it. And I think that there was problems about it, but I wasn't going to spend time trying to...
Mm-hmm.
I called Ed on it myself as counsel just because it affected our legal position.
Yeah.
He didn't have a right to speak as to our legal position. He got it. He backed off.
from your perspective, would some kind of a norm be helpful so everyone knew, or is it a waste of time and
we
are
a waste of time
rules on the board?
I can't control it. I really can't control it. It's kind of like, you know, I go into closed session, I divulge things in closed session that are confidential to the district having to do with our legal matters, and I can't control what gets leaked out of this. And I know some stuff has been leaked out. Not from anybody in this room, but I just know. And it's just the way it is. So it's kind of the reality of life. He's an elected official. You're all elected officials. You get to say what you want. That's your constitutional right.
But there are consequences.
There are.
There are.
You know,
political consequences, you know.
Your board, I think,
has consequences.
There's misdemeanors if you...
Yeah.
But that's the DA, when's the last time the DA ever took on a case for...
I think that your board, and that's probably going to come up in this discussion, I would think, because it's going to broaden beyond this, and I would be willing to bet that, you know, someone's going to suggest that if, you know, everyone on the board has a responsibility, if they're going to say something, you know, publicly about APCD that's not an official board position, it's their responsibility to identify that that's their personal opinion and not a board position. I'm guessing someone's going to say that, and when the board hears it, you know, it's all peer pressure, so if someone goes outside that line, someone will probably call them on them at some point. But, you know, I agree with Ray. You guys are elected officials.
And I cannot police. I'm not going to police my board. I can't do that. I work for you, being the board.
But do we even have anything that says in a policy-type manual that we should avoid that?
Avoid that?
I will look. I mean, there could be. I haven't looked at... We just readopted the board meeting policies. The board rules of procedure. It was just...
Prior to me.
It was prior to you?
It's been over a year and a half.
Yeah, so so I'll look at that.
But there's nothing in there that addresses...
Yeah, I don't think there is.
There really isn't. I mean, it's a peculiar area because you're elected officials, you have a special power, and the public relies on the board to exercise that power appropriately. But seriously, I cannot beat up board members and say, don't say this or say that. I can't do that. I mean, I just have to rely on the board to look out for the best interest of the full board.
But when you do think that there's something problematic, you just...
I bring it up.
Right.
And that's handled that way. And that's what I was trying to suggest, Roberta. I mean, no one tried to make an issue at viewpoint, nor continue to try to make an issue. Ray had already said that he talked to Ed. They had a discussion.
Ed and I are fine.
Yeah.
We have no issues.
Bruce's viewpoint, I don't know, or Bruce's letter, I don't, you know, you may offend you, but, you know.
It didn't offend me. What bothered me, Adam, was that it was on Board of Supervisors' letterhead.
His own letterhead.
His own, but it says on the top Board of Supervisors. Board of Supervisors is writing his employer saying we were really offended as the Air Pollution Control District.
All I know is I saw the letter.
I think it would be helpful, if nothing else, that we review this at some time, saying it's a good idea not to do this. And you have the right to do it, and you may be slapped down by other board members, and that's your privilege.
Well, I think that discussion is going to come up in this item.
So let's just be ahead of it.
You could just tell them we'll bring it back to the executive board. And
Because the last thing we want to do is spend an hour talking about this at a board meeting.
No.
So hopefully this has got us a little further along with that, and we can try to get through it real quick if it doesn't come up.
Yeah. And at least in my opinion, it doesn't serve the public well to have those kind of public discussions where board members are kind of bickering with each other over you did this or you did this. And, you know, it would be great not to have that. I mean, that's going to happen once in a while, but I think I agree with Noah that getting ahead of it and saying, okay, look, we understand. We'll have a discussion of this here. And
it's probably already in the policy, man.
I don't know. I'll have to look. You know, I can't say that I have that memorized. So
our policies and procedures.
Yeah, they're pretty general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's silent, my first sense. So
constitutional reasons.
But I'll look at them and be prepared to answer any questions on that when we do bring this forward, so.
It does warrant discussion, and I will weigh in too during the discussion, because I think, you know, I can't police board members and say you can say this or not say that. That's not my role, but we have to be mindful of our bigger goal, and I think the board has been doing that pretty much. It really has.
So
okay.
Is there anything else?
Ray, are you able to make the next meeting on October 21st at 3 o'clock rather than 1:30?
Wait, say that again.
October 21st, 3 p.m., we're moving the meeting from...
I'll be there.
1:30 to 3.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know what's on my calendar, but
I'll change our...
an hour and a half difference, so...
Yeah, I'll change our calendar and get up to the website.
Okay. All right, great.
Any further items or... members of the public, so we won't need to even try. And with that, we'll adjourn. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.